Tonight, I'd like to invite you to the book of Luke, chapter 18, verse 9. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verse 9. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verse 9 reads this way. It says, "And he spake a parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this evening. Lord, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And Lord, knowing that where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so, Lord, we pray for your blessing on your word, on us, your people, and Lord, on your congregation and the work that you want to do in and through us, Lord, that we might truly be the witnesses you've called us to be. Empower our lives, Lord, by your grace and glory. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is Certain Which Trusted in Themselves. And so as we consider this text, I want to remind us that the Lord was speaking to his disciples. If you go back to chapter 17, verse 22, he's talking to his disciples there, and he's continuing on, giving them all this insight and this information concerning their relationship with the Lord and how to understand and to distinguish the difference really between the world and the natural realm and the Lord and the spiritual realm. There are two different realms there, and God wants us to be aware of that, and he wants to remind us because, again, we have the natural realm that we still deal with. Amen? If you've conquered the natural realm, let me know how you did it. I'd like to know. It is a continual battle. It's something that we will fight until we stand before the Lord. The wonderful truth is that God is the one that wants to give us the victory in that realm. And so tonight I want to consider a couple of things that the Lord points out, and that is basically this is the Lord's parable, and he has a purpose behind it, and that is that he might distinguish the difference between the Pharisee and the publican, or may I say the spirit of the Pharisee and the spirit of the publican, or the way that the Pharisee approached the Lord and the way that the publican approached the Lord. And the Lord wants to remind us that we can also have the same access that every believer can have in the Lord, and that is to have the spirit of the publican. And we'll see some things here concerning these two different ones. So the second thought will be what the Pharisee could not see. And the third thought will be what the publican could see. There are two different things. The Pharisee couldn't see some things. The publican could see some things. And then the Lord's conclusion, also an opportunity that we might consider ourselves. All right, so if we can look back to verse 9, we find this is the Lord's parable. And basically, he's illustrating two spirits of prayer, two types of prayer. One is rejected. The other is received by the Lord. And so look at verse 9 with me. He said, "He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican." So both of them believed that they had a relationship with the Lord. They were praying unto the Lord, were they not? Both of them were praying to the Lord, but the Lord said that he looked on these two different prayers differently than even probably they even could have imagined, the Pharisee and the publican. So let's look at this. The Pharisee's prayer did not please the Lord. Did you know that? The Pharisee, he couldn't see that he was not honoring the Lord. Look at verse 11 with me. It says, "And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican." Now, isn't that amazing? So here's this Pharisee, and of course it's a parable, but you know, there's truth in this parable, and that's why it might kind of strike us a little bit odd. But this Pharisee, he was looking at himself, and he was saying, "Boy, you know, listen, I am so glad that I'm not like other men, especially this guy right here. Isn't that amazing? I'm going to point to this person." And listen, when people are tearing other people down, they think they're building themselves up. And they might be before men, but never before God. And so here's this fella. He is picking out all his flaws. Doesn't that remind you of something? The Lord said that we need to be careful before we start pulling the speck out of our brother's eyes, that we take care of the beam that's in our own eye. And so here he is criticizing and ridiculing and pointing fingers at this publican.
And he's thinking he's doing the right thing. He's looking to really to himself. And so here we have this Pharisee's prayer, and it lacked something. You know what it lacked? It lacked the mercy of God. There was no mercy in it. And it expressed a condemnation or of others or a self-righteousness in himself. He looked at himself and he said, boy, I'm in pretty good shape. You know, we're on dangerous ground if we come to that conclusion. Boy, oh boy, man, if people could be just like I am, they would have so much. Oh no, listen, if we're not trying to be like the Lord is, we've missed it completely. And so here we find again this Pharisee, verse 11, he says, and this Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Do you think the Lord heard this prayer? He heard it, we'll say physically, audibly, but he didn't answer it, did he? He didn't answer it. So really, he's not having his prayers answered. And again, I know this is a parable, but here's what I want you to see. Verse 11, and the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. He's praying all by himself, really, and he's mocking this publican. But he is looking at this publican and really condemning him and trying to exalt his own self-righteousness. You know, the Bible tells us, and I would challenge you to go there sometime, not tonight, but Isaiah 64:6. Let me ask you this question. Can our righteousness stand in the presence of God? Can our righteousness stand in the presence of God? It cannot. Because Isaiah 64:6 says this, but we are all, that's a universal word there, that's all inclusive, but we are all as an unclean thing. And listen to this, all our righteousnesses, that's really a word. All our righteousnesses, that means all of them, right? Not just one of our righteousnesses, not just 10 of them. All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have, listen, and our iniquities, plural, like the wind, have taken us away. When we are given to that, our sins will take us farther than we intended to go. They will keep us there longer than we intended to stay. And they will cost us more than we ever dreamed we were going to pay. And so God is saying, be careful, because the heart of mankind is desperately wicked and does not honor and glorify the Lord. It leads us away from God. And so Jesus is telling his believers, guard against this. Be careful. It can happen in your life. So he says, but we are all as an unclean thing. All our unrighteousnesses are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf. Our iniquities, plural, like the wind, have taken us away. Thus the Pharisee really did not please God, and he was praying by himself, really. The Lord audibly heard this prayer, and again, it's a parable. He's explaining this, but it was all by himself. Now, another thing that the Pharisee, really, what he was doing for the Lord, what he did for God, really amounted to nothing. Look at verse 12. I fast twice in the week. He's bragging, is he not? I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. We could do even, listen, is it wrong to fast? No. Is it wrong to tithe? No. But if that's our righteousness, we're not right with God. If Jesus Christ is not our righteousness, and if we're looking to what we're doing for God that and thinking that gains us favor or elevates us, we've missed the Lord. You know what we need from God? Mercy. We need the mercy of God. So, question, was this Pharisee blinded in his own sins? He was, wasn't he? And he missed the Lord completely. Question, did he think he stood upright? Oh, listen, the Bible says, take heed how you stand, lest you fall. And by the way, in this case, he had already fallen, right? He was not even standing. And so this is what the Pharisee could not see. And that was, first of all, that his prayer did not please the Lord because it was condemning. There was no mercy in it. And secondly, the Pharisee did not understand that his prayers and what he did not amount to anything before the Lord. Now, let's look at the contrast here, and let's look at what the publican could see. Look at verse 13 with me. And the publican, standing afar off, listen to this, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. Listen, God allowed him, God opened up his eyes, his spiritual eyes, to see how he stood before the Lord. He said, I'm not even worthy, Lord, to look up to where your domain is, to look up to where you live. So he says here, and the publican standing afar off would not lift so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be what? Merciful. God be merciful to me, a sinner. It reminds me when Isaiah was, when he stood before the Lord and he said, I'm unrighteous, I'm unclean. He saw himself when he saw God, how he stood. And he was helpless and hopeless, really. And so this publican had his spiritual eyes opened, and he was gaining an entrance into the very presence of the Lord because he saw how he stood before the Lord. You know, the world doesn't understand this, but listen, to approach the Lord, we have to believe that we need him. Why would we come to God? I mean, listen, the world that seems to possess all the worldly things, do you think they call upon the Lord? No, they were like Nebuchadnezzar. They thank themselves for what they've accomplished because they don't know the Lord. It is the Lord that gets our attention. And I'm reminded of Nebuchadnezzar. Remember, he had a whole full year, and then finally he looked out over his kingdom and he said, is this not my kingdom? While these words were yet in his mouth, God gave him the spirit of an animal for 7 years. And then in Daniel chapter 4, he said basically, he sounded like the Apostle Paul, right? He said, peace be multiplied. He said, I know, God helped me see really the error of my way. And I'm just paraphrasing there. But let's look at verse 13 again. This publican saw his own unrighteousness. This publican saw his great need for mercy. The best position to be is where this publican is at. Lord, you know what I need? I need your mercy. Why? Because I'm unrighteous. My natural being, as much as the world would try to tell me, you know, have you ever heard this? There's some good in everybody. There's no good in anybody. There's none good. No, not one. Do you see how if we're not careful, the world will tell you, listen, you don't have to be that fanatical. You don't have to, you don't need God that much is what they're telling you. When they say you don't have to pray all the time, and you don't have to read your Bible all the time, and you don't have to go to church all the time, you know what they're saying? You're not that bad. Because if you're bad, then I'm really in bad shape because I could care less about the things of God. And so really what they're trying to tell you is you don't have to do all that because they don't want to do all that. But the reason why they don't want to do all that is because their eyes have not been opened to see how we stand. And not only that, but listen, to know that there's a loving God that we can draw near to that has promised as we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. As we seek him, we will find him. And so the publican could see his own unrighteousness. The publican saw his great need for God's mercy. And then lastly, let's look at the Lord's conclusion and really an opportunity for us to consider ourselves. And that's why he was telling this to the disciples. This ought to be an encouragement and an inventory check in our spiritual walk. Do we really need the Lord? The Lord's not trying to beat us up, but he's trying to help us to know how to approach him. Otherwise, what are we doing? What does God really mean to us if we don't really see our unrighteousness, and if we don't really see that we need the mercy of God? Well, we'll just rattle off a list to the big man upstairs, won't we? This is what I need today, Lord. I don't care what you need, God, or what you want. This is what I want you to do for me. And there's none of this. There's no, oh Lord, I am undone, and only your blood and only your righteousness can cover me. And when I see that, and the fact that you give me your mercy, oh, I can worship. It's not that I, really, you know, God supplies all of our needs, and he's faithful to do that. Isn't that what the Bible says? And so, Lord, I am thankful that I can, as I look to you, I don't have to have any need. I don't have to have any need. He feeds me every day. He's given me clothes. He's provided for me. And my goodness, I have a great opportunity as God opens up my eyes to thank him for that and to worship him. But if we're not careful, if we walk in our own righteousness, look at what I'm doing, look at what I've done, look at what I've accomplished, look at what I've attained, there's no room for God in that. In fact, in the Lord, he says, I don't accept that. So look at what the Lord says here in verse 14 as we conclude tonight and consider this opportunity that we might have. Verse 14, again, he's talking to his disciples. Back in chapter 17, verse 22, and he's continuing on here. He says, I tell you, he's telling his disciples, there are others that are there too, I'm sure, but I tell you, this man went down to his house justified, this publican, rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself, he says, be careful that you don't look to what you're doing, what you have done in the past, what you think you're going to do in the future, even if you put God's name on it. He says, that's not what gains you any acceptance at all with me. He said, it's my mercy and my grace, or it's nothing. Anything that you have, anything that you have has been given to you by God. We've not made ourselves. We've not given ourselves our intellect. We've not even placed ourselves in what I believe is, I know there's controversy in this, but I believe that God has placed me in the greatest nation on planet Earth. There is no other nation. If you were to give me my choice, what country would you want to live in? I'd pick this one. And you know what? There's a bunch of people in other countries that wish they could be in this one. Now, I know we hear a lot of negativity, but I'm just going to tell you, I think the only negativity are the people that have turned sour on a country that, by all means, was not perfect. But boy, oh boy, did we do some things that no other country has done for the benefit of mankind and have given. And not just given financially, but given the lives of our citizens, their children, for freedom. And so praise God that you know what? God has given to me so much physically, but the best that he's given to me is spiritually. And I can, because of that, I don't want to go live anywhere else, just for the record, okay? Especially some crazy third world country that hates Christianity. But because of that, my hope is built on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says this, verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself, this is what the Lord says, shall be abased, shall be brought low. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And here's a clue, ready? We need God's help to humble ourselves. God, I need you to show me how much I really need you. Lord, I need you to show me how much you have given to me in your Son and what I have. And listen, and what I have yet to have. What a day that's going to be. The Bible says this, there is nothing to be compared to. None of the sufferings that you will ever suffer, and there's been a lot of suffering, that will be compared to the things that God has in store for them that love him. Isn't that something? Did the Pharisee love the Lord? No. The publican did. May we have the spirit of the publican and say, oh God, I'm not worthy. God didn't save me because I'm a fine specimen. You know why he saved me? Because I'm a shipwreck without a pilot. And the Lord said, I'll salvage your life. Amen? If you'll trust me, if you'll believe on my sacrifice, the blood on Calvary's cross that was shed for you to give you eternal life. If you'll receive that truth, then you'll be adopted and grafted into the family of God, and all the doors are opened unto you. God has opened all the doors and reminds us tonight not to trust in ourselves, but to humbly approach the Lord and allow God and call upon the Lord to show us how much we need him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight. Lord, we thank you again for the privilege of gathering together as your people to hear your word, Lord, and your wisdom, your direction. And Lord, we just pray that use your Holy Spirit to open up our hearts and minds to receive it and to understand it and to walk in it, Lord. Bless your people, and we ask your continued blessings as we break off for prayer. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.